This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Continue inshallah today into the series of attributes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. We've spoken on his patience عليه الصلاة والسلام, about his generosity, on his asceticism, his humbleness, his bravery, his humor, alayhi salatu wasalam, his perseverance and his grit. Talked about how he ate, he dressed, how he spoke, how he moved, how he treated women, how he treated children, how he treated non-Muslims, how he treated people of sin, alayhi salatu wasalam. Today, I'm going to talk about how he treated his companions, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This is the broadest of all categories, because everything in the seerah and the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is one way or another how he treated them. But I do want to point out that he did have a vision alayhi salatu wasalam in terms of how he went by speaking to them and treating them alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a plan that he had alayhi salatu wasalam. يقول الله تعالى محمدٌ رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا. To the end of the ayah in Surah Al-Fath, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was acknowledged, and those who were with him were acknowledged as well with their attributes. Alayhi salatu wasalam was engaged in raising them, in educating them, in training them alayhi salatu wasalam, in helping them figure out what it was they were going to do in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen. He pointed out their mistakes. He strengthened their attributes and their talents alayhi salatu wasalam. He invested in them. And this is like the most important piece of all of this. He invested in people. His biggest accomplishments, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were the Sahaba. Was the biggest thing he did is them. They were his biggest accomplishments, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He didn't leave behind him, alayhi salatu wa sallam, high towers and great castles. He left people. People that he had invested in heavily, and he spent a lot of time with them, alayhi salatu wa sallam. This became the legacy of our deen. The legacy of Islam is the investment in people. And that's how Islam spread. Each and every one of them invested in people behind them. Go look at the stories of the imma. Look at Abu Hanifa. He didn't put together his own madhab. What he left behind was Abu Yusuf and Zufar ibn Hudayl and Hassan ibn Ziyad and Muhammad ibn Hassan. Imam Malik, his muwatta only reached us because he left behind him students like Abdurrahman al-Qasim and ibn Wahab and Ashhab and Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi and Ibn al-Majishun. He left people behind him. Imam al-Shafi'i, same thing. Imam Muzani, al-Buwaiti, Rabi' al-Muradi, Imam Ahmed, it goes on and on. Imam Ahmed, countless, al-Bukhari and Muslim are from amongst his students. Al-Athram, wal-Warraq, wal-Marruzi, wal-Maymuni. All these are scholars and scientists that he taught, radiallahu anhu. And this is what spread the... Think about this. There were no publishing agencies back then. And when they wrote a book, how do you think, there was no one publishing it and giving it out. They wrote it on pieces of paper in their home with their hand. There was only one edition. It was just one, and that's it. How are you going to take something? How do you take the Muwatta, for example? How do you take Musnad al-Imam and spread it all over the world if it wasn't for people that he invested in? They invested in, and they taught, and they trained, and they supported, and they aided, and they mentored, and they coached for a very long time. And this is what he did, alayhi salam. This is the legacy he left. The moment we stop doing that, I'm not going to use the past tense yet. The moment that's no longer the issue anymore, we're not interested in investing in people, Islam ceases to exist. Because it's all about that. It's all about someone who's learned, who's going to teach and mentor and coach. You can think about, well, the accomplishments are within medicine and within science and in the Industrial Revolution. Look, all of that doesn't add up to anything if a society has no values. If a society has no direction, doesn't have principles, it doesn't have anything to live by, all that doesn't mean anything. I think we should know that by now. Like, this should be common knowledge at this point. The Prophet ﷺ invested in that, in making sure that he left behind him a generation of people who understood what they were here to do, what their moral compass was clear, their ethics were clear. And all his stories, ﷺ, teach that, and it's pretty easy. And I'll just tell you a couple of them just for the benefit of enjoying some of the stories about him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith within Muslim al-Imam and Jami' al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there was one of the Sahaba from the Arab, from the Bedouins, His name was Zahir, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knew him well. He was a very, let's just say, physically unfortunate looking gentleman. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes people would avoid him. And he was standing once in the market, and he was selling the Bedouins used to come to the cities, and they would sell eggs and cheese and milk and whatever they had. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would see him come up from behind him, and he would hug him. And the man, when he was hugged from behind, he got scared for a moment. He didn't like it. And then he noticed it was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he would say, فَوَقَفْتُ مَا أَجِدُ نَعِيمًا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ إِلْصَاقِ بَطْنِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ بِظَهْرِي. And the best thing I had in my life is the Prophet alayhi salam's stomach or his chest touching my back. ثُمَّ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي هَذَا الْعَبْدُ. Who will buy this slave from me? He's joking with him. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذَنْ تَجِدُنِي كَاسِدًا. No one will buy me. If you're trying to sell me, I'm not worth anything. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam turned him around, قَالَ لَكِنَّكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ غَالٍ. But you're very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a man by the name of Abu Khawwat ibn Jubayr, the hadith and al-Tabarani. This gentleman was a young Muslim, a new Muslim, and one night on a trip back from a battle, he would notice a couple of ladies sitting beside a fire. So he saw them and he went inside. I covered my head and my face, and I went and sat with them and to sit with the ladies. فخرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من خيمته. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام comes out of his tent. فعرفني. The moment he looked, he saw him. He noticed me. فقال ما تفعل يا أبا عبد الله. What are you doing? فقال جمل لي. فقلت جمل لي شرد يا رسول الله. I lost my camel. I was asking if they seen my camel. أقول فما رآني بعدها إلا قال يا أبا عبد الله ماذا فعل شراد جملك. Oh Abu Abdullah, what happened to your lost camel? أقول أبحث عن I'm still looking for it يا رسول الله. قال فما فكنا في السفر يلتحق بي فيناديني يا أبا عبد الله ماذا فعل شراد جملك. You'd see me on the way back. Every time he'd see me come on his horse closer to me, يا أبا عبد الله, what happened to your camel? And I would have to come up with another line. قال حتى يعني ضاق صدري, until I got very upset and uncomfortable. فاستعجلت إلى المدينة. So I kind of left the army and just went back to Medina so he wouldn't catch me again. ثم أخذت أدخل المسجد في أوقات خلوه. And then I started to enter the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ when he wasn't there, because I didn't want him to, because if I run into him, he's going to ask me the same question again, I'm going to squirm. So I entered one night to pray, and the masjid was empty, so I'm doing my salah, because I hadn't been in the masjid for a while, I was enjoying him. فَخَرَجَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ مِنْ بَعْضِ غُرَفِهِ. He came into the masjid عليه الصلاة والسلام. فَصَلَّ رَكَعْتَيْنِ خَفِيفَتَيْنِ. He prayed two very quick rak'ah. ثُمَّ جَلَسْ عليه الصلاة والسلام. He's standing there. فقول فأردت أن أطيل عساه يقوم. So I decided to make them tahajjud rak'at that I'm praying, and I was hoping that he would get up. فقال لي طول أبا عبد الله ما شئت أن تطول فلست ذاهبا حتى تنصرف. Take as much time as you want. I'm not leaving until you're done. قال فقلت في نفسي لأعتذرن إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I said to myself, I have to do the right thing. قال فسلمت. I ended my prayer and turned to him. فقلت يا رسول الله. Before I was able to speak, قال لي يا أبا عبد الله ماذا فعل شراد جملك. How is your camel doing? فقال فقلت يا رسول الله والله ما شرد لي جمل منذ أسلمت. I haven't lost a camel since the day I accepted Islam. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمك الله رحمك الله رحمك الله. Then may Allah have mercy and empathy upon you, compassion. And that was the end. صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's on his camel one day, and Fadl ibn al-Abbas, hadith and Abi Dawood, he's sitting behind him, and a young lady would come to him, alayhi salam. This is during Hajj, and she starts asking him questions. He was very young and apparently attractive. So the Prophet, alayhi salam, is answering her questions, and Fadl ibn al-Abbas is staring at her as she's asking the questions. So the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, would kind of move back a bit and take the head of al-Fadl and turn it towards him. يقول فأخذ برأسي فلفتني إليه. And he turned me to him. فإذا به يبتسم إلي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he was smiling at me. قال فاستحييت. And I felt embarrassed and I looked down after that. صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is how he would teach people. He invested in people. Sayyidina Mu'adh, if you go and you follow the ahadith of Sahihain and Imam Ahmad, looking for the ahadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal specifically, you find the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, every time he had an opportunity, he would bring him. And he would put him behind him on his mule, and they would go, and he would speak to Mu'adh and teach him. Yeah, and he would tell him, Ya Mu'adh, the known hadith, مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ وَمَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And he would educate Sayyidina Mu'adh رضي الله عنه. And he would tell him, إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ, I love you. And he would tell him, Ya Mu'ad, هل تحفظ من شعري أمية ابن أبي الصلت شيئا? Do you memorize anything of the poetry of this known poet? فقال نعم يا رسول الله. And he didn't know the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is back then, like the hip thing. Like this is what you knew the latest album. So he had memorized this poetry. فقال أسمعني, let me hear. So he would recite. He said I would recite a verse of poetry. فيقولوا هي هي. Give me another one. I give him another one. And he kept on saying until I gave him 100 verses of poetry. ثم قال والله إن من البيان من الشعر من البيان لسحرة. Sometimes the articulation can be like magic. والله إن كاد ليسلم. He almost accepted Islam just by the wisdom that he had. And when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen to be a judge, he would educate him, tell him exactly what to do on the way, and he would tell him as he was leaving, يا معاذ لعلك إن عدت لا تلقاني. You probably, when you're going to come back, by the time you have to come back and this mission is over, you're not going to find me. وَلَعَلَّكَ تَمُرُّ بِمَسْجِدِي هَذَا وَقَبْرِي. And you'll probably come by my masjid and my grave will be there. But Mu'adh starts to cry. فَقَالَ لَا تَبْكِي يَا مُعَاذ. No, don't cry. فَإِنَّ الْبُكَاءَ هَذَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Desperation is from shaitan. Don't feel that way. He would take time and spend with Mu'adh and educate Mu'adh. Mu'adh became one of the great scholars of Islam. He did the same thing with Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas was only awake in life for a couple of years with the Prophet ﷺ. He's very young, Ibn Abbas. But the Prophet ﷺ still would do the same thing. The known hadith that we all remember, احفظ الله, يحفظك, احفظ الله, تجده تجاهك. These are, you and I just memorized the hadith. Ibn Abbas learned the hadith. Forget about him memorizing it. He understood it. He was educated. He was taught how to live his life through the words of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ would bring him and say, Allahumma faqihhu fi ddeen wa'alimhu ta'weel. He would make dua for him that he would be someone of knowledge. He would put him alayhi salam beside him and he would treat him like a man. He would give him the water first, even though Abu Bakr and Umar are sitting right beside him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Investing in people, making sure that they were going to grow up to be something worthy of the message that they carry. He cared about them alayhi salam even when it came to their emotional status. On the known story, and this is a hadith I remember when I was in university, I had to do a full study on its origins. And the condition was you weren't going to use a search engine. So I had to go to the maktaba. There was a large library for Mujamma Sheikh Ahmed Gaftaru in Dimashq, and it was a big library, and it was like multi-layered, and you'd have to get on a sliding ladder to move from one place to the other to bring down the big collections to go through them. And it took me like 3 months to something that would have take me. Right now, it would take you like literally 15 seconds to figure out all the different narrations of the hadith. So the hadith of Jabir wal-Jamal, and this is on the way back from Bani al-Mustaliq. The Prophet ﷺ would notice Jabir is like behind the army. Everyone's in one big clump and Jabir is a little bit behind. So the Prophet ﷺ noticed Jabir wasn't feeling well. Like the whole time, he could see he was down. So ﷺ would come by and he would say, Ya Jabir, ma sha'nuk, why are you behind everyone? فَقَالَ جَمَلِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I have an old camel. This camel of mine is old. He didn't like the camel. Jabir said, "Mama kana abgh shay'an abghada ilayya min hadha al-jamal." Nothing I hated more in this world than this bloody camel that I had. I couldn't get rid of it, and I had nothing else but it, and I had to go with it everywhere, and it didn't move, and it was slow, and it smelled, and it just wasn't a nice camel. So the Prophet ﷺ would stand there, make dua, and then tap the camel, and the camel would فَأَصْبَحَ جَمَلُهُ يُسَابِقُ جَمَلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عليه الصلاة والسلام. His camel would start to follow the Prophet or a race. And he would say, Ya Jabir, bi'ni al-jamal, tell me, I want to buy this camel from you. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ خُذْهُ. Just take it. I don't want it. I don't even like it. Take it from me. فَقَالَ لَا بَلْ بِثَمَنِهِ. I want to buy it from you. فَقَالَ بِمَا شِئْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So he said, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he's trying to cheer him up. فَقَالَ بِدِرْهَمْ. I'll pay you $1 for it. قال يا رسول الله خذه. I told you to take it. You don't have to humiliate with me. Whatever, a dollar for a camel. Just take it. فقال كم تريد يا جابر. He's joking with him until he come to a number that he's happy with. فقال فإذا أتيت المدينة إيتني بالجمل. Whenever you get to the Medina, bring me the camel and I'll give it to you. He starts asking, يا جابر أتزوج, have you gotten married? فقال نعم. قال أثيبا بكر. You marry a lady who's is the first marriage or a second marriage? فقال بل ثيبا. She's a lady who was married before. فقال هلا بكرا تلاعبها وتلاعبك. Why don't you marry a lady who wasn't married before, just like you? And you would play with, you have, it would be funner for you, both of you. قال يا رسول الله ما تأبي ترك تسع بنات. My dad died. He left me 9 daughters. I have 9 sisters to take care of. I need. فقال أحسنت يا جابر. And then he starts talking. Yeah, Jabir, maybe we wait outside of Medina a little bit so that your wife can prepare the pillows for تجهز لك النمارق. And prepare herself. فقال يا رسول الله ليس عندي نمارق. I don't have pillows in my home. And he had a moment where, sometimes in life, where you just, things become dark and then everything is dark. And he could see that, alayhi salam. And the Jabir was just going through a rough patch. So he took upon himself, alayhi salam, to make things easier. فَقَالَ يَا جَابِرْ سَيَكُونَ. You will. You will have pillows one day. And they waited outside Medina for a while so that the wives would prepare. It's been like a couple of months. They would enter Medina, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Jabir, he wanted to get rid of this camel, and he was afraid that if he didn't quickly take the camel over, the Prophet alayhi salam will change his mind because it's an old camel, it's not going to be worth much. So Bilal came, knocked on the door, and when Jabir saw Bilal, he said, he doesn't want the camel anymore. I knew it. He doesn't want the camel. Bilal knocks on the door, فَقَالَ يَا جَابِرْ هَذَا ثَمَنُ الْجَمَلُ وَأَبْقِهِ عَلَيْكَ. Here's the price of the camel that we agreed to, and keep the camel. فَإِنَّمَا أَرَدْتُمْ مُمَازَحَتَكَ ابْنَ أَخِي. The Prophet tells you he just wanted to joke with you as you are the son of his brother, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir tells later on, this part is in Majma' al-Zawa'id al-Haythami, he would put, فَقَالَ فَمَرَّ الْزَمَانِ, and time went by, وَصَارَ عِنْدِي نَمَارِقٍ, and I started to have pillows in my home. وَوَاللَّهِ لَلْيَوْمُ الَّذِي جَالَسْتُ فِيهِ أَوْ مَا شَيْتُ فِيهِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the day that I was with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, walking with him, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدِي نَمَارِقٍ, with no pillows at home, لَخَيْرٌ مِنْ مِلْءِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ أَيَّامِ هَذِهِ. It's better than millions of lifetimes than what I'm living right now without him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, for example, Abdullah ibn Bijadain, and the hadith here is also in the collection of Ahmad with Tirmidhi. And Abdullah ibn Bijadain, his name was Abdul Uzza, and he was from Muzayna. And this gentleman accepted Islam, and he was kicked out of his home. He was stripped of everything. And the reason his name is Dhul Bijadain. Bijad is a piece of fabric. His uncle literally took his clothes off his body. So he had to pick up two pieces of fabric and just kind of tie them around himself so he wouldn't be walking around naked. And he came to Medina looking like that. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, What's your name? Qala Abdul Uzza. He said, No. And he said, Abdullah Dhul Bijadain, the one with the two pieces of fabric. And that became his name. When he died on the way back from one of the ghazawat, he passed away. Ibn Mas'ud tells us the story. He said, I woke up hearing metal hitting rock, which is a sound of someone digging something or war. So on the way back, if you hear metal and rock or two, then you're worried that there's something going on. So he said, I left and I'm looking to see. It was very dark. It was very windy. It was very cold. And I'm trying to figure out where the sound was coming from. So I go and I find Abu Bakr and Umar standing, each one carrying a small kerosene, or maybe not kerosene, but something, some form of light. And there was a gentleman who was lying in white, meaning someone who's deceased. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is inside a hole, and he's digging the hole. So Ibn Mas'ud comes and says, how are you, what are you doing standing up and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is digging? So they told me, be quiet. He insisted he's going to do this, so we just stand here. So I asked them, who died? فَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ذُلْبِجَادَيْنِ. So he said, who's Abdullah ibn Bijadain? He was very unknown. He was not a very well-known Sahabi. He had accepted Islam very, very recently. And he was someone who was very poor, didn't have much. So people didn't really know him. يقول ابن مسعود فما مرت الليلة حتى تمنيت لو كنت مكانه. By the end of the night, I had wished I was in his spot. I mean, I wished I was dead. I wish I was. قال حفر له قبره. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام dug his grave with his own hands. ثم قال ناولياني أخاكما. Give me your brother. And they gave, and they would carry Abdullah ibn Bijadain, give him to the Prophet alayhi sallam. فَيُنزِلُهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِيَدِهِ فِي قَبْرِهِ. The Prophet would put him in his grave with his own hands. يَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُكَ أَنِّي رَاضٍ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ذِي الْبِجَادَيْنِ. He would say it three times. Oh Allah, be my witness that I am satisfied with Abdullah ibn Bijadain. أَلَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ يُحِبُّ الْقُرْآنَ. He is someone who loved the Quran. And Ibn Mas'ud, by the end of the night, is like, I wished I was the dead person. And the Prophet alayhi sallam did this for me and made dua for me, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would take time to make sure that they were ready to pick up the responsibilities. If you look at it, what was Mu'tah? Mu'tah was one of the battles the Prophet ﷺ did not go to. It's a very known one. It's very well documented in the Sunnah and the Seerah. But he wasn't there, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because he wanted the Sahaba to learn to take care of themselves. This message is also yours. You need to take some initiative on this message. So he made Zayd and Ja'far and Abdullah ibn Rawah and later Khalid ibn Walid to lead the battle without him being there, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is important, a leader that does not put people in positions of leadership so that they can take care of it later on, then he's basically waiting for whenever he dies, it's over. Whenever that leader dies, everything just falls to pieces because no one's been prepared to actually carry the message or to pick up the beacon and continue to move forward with it. So Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take time to make sure he did that. When you look at before he died, Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was preparing an army. An army was supposed to go and fight the Romans, and he had put the leader of the army, Usama ibn Zayd. Usama was 17. He was leading an army that had Abu Bakr and Umar in it. Not 17, not leading prayer in Taraweeh. No, leading an army with Abu Bakr and Umar. Forget about leading prayer with a couple of older people behind you. You're leading an army. So when he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, some of the Sahaba even said, maybe it shouldn't be Usama ibn Zayd. I mean, he's young. Maybe the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at the end wasn't really thinking. فقال أبو بكر ما كنت لأحل عقدة عقدها رسول أو راية عقدها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I would never ever stop something. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put up a flag and a banner, and you're asking me to dismantle it and say no. Wallahi la yamdiyanna Usama. Usama is going to take this army and he's going to march to where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said he was going to march. There was no war, nothing happened. But the concept was the training and the teaching and the preparation that they were going for. He also, alayhi salam, was very strict and he pointed out their mistakes. And he taught them, when Abu Dharr made the mistake and called Bilal al-Habashi something he shouldn't have called him, قَالَ إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ Abu Dharr is like the 7th, 8th person to accept Islam. Abu Dharr accepted Islam when no one was accepting Islam. Abu Dharr was one of the early Muslims, as early as you can go back. Very close to the Prophet, alayhi salam, he educated him quite heavily. But when he made a mistake, he didn't hold back. He pointed it out, this is jahiliyyah in you. And Abu Dharr had to accept that. And this hadith is narrated until Yawm al-Qiyamah. But to teach him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to teach him. When Usama made the mistake and came and tried to intercede on behalf of someone who had stolen for them not to be punished, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam spoke to him very firmly as well. One of the stories I enjoy is Abdullah ibn Umar, one of the younger Sahaba who also were well educated by the Prophet alayhi wasallam, became one of the great abadila of fiqh and Islamic knowledge. Some of the madhahib come from him. As they say, each madhahib comes from one of the Sahaba. Abdullah ibn Umar is one of them. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say something when he wasn't there, knowing that the person was going to take it to him. قَالَ نِعْمَ الرَّجُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ What a good is Sahih Muslim. What a good person Abdullah is. لَوْ كَانَ يَقُومُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ If he only kept up his qiyam al-layl a little bit, because he doesn't do that as much. يَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ فَسَمِعْتُهَا فَمَا تَرَكْتُ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ مِنْ سَاعَتِهَا And I heard those words, and I've been nightly, since the day he said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, it's been over 40 years when he narrated this hadith. Radiallahu anhu wa Allah. يروي الإمام الحاكم وأبو داود عن سهل بن حنيف قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتي ضعفاء المسلمين ويزورهم ويعود مرضاهم ويخرج في ويشهد جنائزهم ويخرج في جنائزهم Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would look for the Muslims who were weak or were poor or they couldn't take care of themselves or not maybe seen to be the high status of people. He would go and he'd visit them. And he would, if someone was sick, he would go and take gifts for them. And whenever one of them died, he would go, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would be there within their janazah, narrated by al-Hakim. And Anas ibn Malik, in hadith al-Tirmidhi, would say, the Prophet, كان يزور النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأنصار فيسلم على صبيانهم ويمسح على رؤوسهم ويدعو لهم. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, would go and take time to visit the Ansar. And then he would make dua for the young children and give salams to them and pat and put his hand on their heads and make sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took time to do these things. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine his schedule. If you want to think about someone being busy, imagine how busy he was. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And yet he took time to make sure he did these things. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Mas'ud later on, in the hadith al-muttafaq alayh, was told by one of his Abi Wa'il. His name is, he was told, why don't you do more maw'idha? Maw'idha is when people are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emotionally. فَقَالَ لَوْ ذَكَّرْتَنَا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ It wouldn't be nicer if you did this for us every day. فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا أَصْنَعُ مَعَكُمْ كَمَا كَانَ يَصْنَعُ مَعَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ I do for you what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to do for us. فَكَانَ يَتَخَوَّلُنَا بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ مَخَافَةَ السَّآمَةِ عَلَيْنَا He used to choose only specific days to do this for us so that we wouldn't get bored. And that's not what we're doing here. What we're doing here is ilm. Ilm, he did every day, alayhi salatu wasalam. But maw'idha was whenever a reminder, an emotional reminder of Jannah and Nar and stuff like that. He only specifically chose certain times because he didn't want to bore them, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. For example, and he didn't just do this for men, he did it for women. The hadith, and the Muslim, he would visit Sulaym bint Milhan and Haram bint Milhan. And they were related to him through Rada'a. through breastfeeding. I mean, they were from his maharim. I mean, he couldn't marry them, they couldn't marry him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he'd go and she was married, Umm Haram bint Milhan was married to Ubad ibn Samit. And he would go and visit her in their house, alayhi sallam. And sometimes he would and he would talk to her kids and he would have food with them. And he would take a nap there. So one day he was taking a nap in her house. And he'd wake up and he's smiling. فقالت يا رسول الله بأبي أنت وأمي ما يضحكك why are you laughing فقالت رأيت في منامي ناس من أمتي غزاة في سبيل الله يركبون البحر I saw in my dream people from my ummah are going to actually perform jihad and they're going to be in ships going across the sea. For him it was funny عليه الصلاة والسلام because Arabs didn't do this. They didn't like the sea. They lived in the desert. The sea was something very foreign to them. فقالت يا رسول الله أدعو الله لي أن أكون منهم make dua that I'll be one of them. فقال أنت من الأولين You're amongst the first to do this. There is a masjid, I want to say it's in Cyprus. There's a masjid called Masjid al-Mar'a al-Saliha, the masjid of the pious woman. Not only did Umm Haram ride the sea fi sabilillah, and she died there as a shaheed, and she was buried there. And beside her grave, there's a masjid, and it stands till this day. You would think that maybe a lady asking to get on, yani I want to be on a ship and go for jihad, he would say, maybe leave that for them. And no, he made dua for her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He allowed them to believe in themselves. He allowed them to dream big and to look forward to something greater than what they were actually going through. This meant a lot. This is powerful. This is true leadership, by the way. And this is not, you don't find this everywhere. And this, we miss this. We lack this. We crave it as human beings to have someone like that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing this. In the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood, he says, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا أَنَا لَكُمْ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْوَالِدِ أُعَلِّمُكُمْ I am to you like a father, I teach you. And the hadith in Muslim of a man, this is just an example, and I love his wording here, that's why I'm telling you this story, because of the wording that he specifically uses here, is where he's standing in salah, he's new Muslim, only been there for a while, doesn't really know much, he's just standing like everyone else in salah, and a man sneezes. So he had learned the piece of what he should say when someone sneezes, but he hadn't really learned all the details of the ritual of salah yet. So he's standing there, the guy sneezes, so he says, Yarhamukallah in salah. And the Prophet ﷺ is reading Quran, yani. So some of the Ansar who are praying look at him, yani, what the heck are you doing? So they're looking at him, فَقَالَ وَاثُكْلَ أُمَّيَاهُ مَا شَأْنُكُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْهِ May I die? Why is everyone staring at me? فَقَالَ يَضْرِبُونَ بِأَخْفَخَادِهِمْ Started hitting him, so just be quiet. قَالْ فَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُمْ يعني يُصَمِّتُونَنِي They're telling me to be quiet. So I was quiet. يَقُولُ فَانْصَرَفَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ When the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام finished his prayer. And this is his wording. I can't remember the name of the Sahabi, subhanAllah. I can't remember the name of the Sahabi. The hadith is in a collection of Imam Muslim and Abu Dawood, but I can't remember the name of the Sahabi. Anyways, what he says, قَالَ فَبِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي لَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا زَجَرَنِي He makes dua for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, he didn't yell at me. He didn't mistreat me. He didn't call me a name. فَأَتَانِي فَقَالَ لِي يَا هَذَا إِنَّمَا جُعِلَتِ الصَّلَاةُ لِقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَالتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ شَيْءٍ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِّن كَلَامِ النَّاسِ This salah is only for Qur'an recitation and tasbih and takbir. We're not supposed to talk in that. يقول فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِّنْهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم I've never seen a teacher who is better at teaching than he was عليه الصلاة والسلام I'll end, oh my God, it's too already days. Let me say this one, it's okay. It's a days off, you guys are all off. You should be fine for another one more. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is, so you see his sensitivity when he was treating people, he understood. He knew he would watch out for people's emotional reactions. He saw when people were upset, when they weren't upset. And a really good example of that is on the day of Hunayn, or after the day of Hunayn. After the Prophet alayhi wa sallam had spent a lot of money for مُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ He had given people who accepted Islam recently. And many of them were from Quraysh. And he had given Safwan ibn Umayyah, for example. That's probably wrong. No, Safwan, it was later. But he had given people like Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, not Sakhr ibn al-Harith. He had given people who had accepted Islam recently a lot of wealth. And the Ansar saw all of that and they got a little bit upset because they had been standing by him for maybe, if you do the math, around 9 years. And they had gone through multiple wars, and they had given up their homes, and given up their kins and their blood. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, once he has the money, he's giving it to all these other people who just accepted Islam yesterday, and they're almost getting nothing, very small. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ وَجَدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَهْلَهُ The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام has found his family. Hadith is in Bukhari. He's found his family, meaning he's happy with his family. And that's all they said. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام heard this, so he called Sa'd ibn Ubadah at the time, and he asked him, I heard this, that the Ansar are saying this. فقال نعم يا رسول الله this is what the Ansar is saying So he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa anta ya Sa'd, ma taqul? What are you saying? Because he's the leader. Faqala aqulu ma yaqulu qawmi. I say whatever my people are saying. So he understood, alayhi salatu wasalam, that they were upset. Qala fajma' li an-nas. Go bring your people. Bring all the Ansar. So then he brought all the Ansar, and it was like in a shaded area. Faqala ma yakunu ma'ana ahad. None of the muhajirin are allowed to be here. Everyone has to be out, aside from Abu Bakr and Umar, who witnessed this. Faqala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ama inni ataytukum ضلالا فهداكم الله بي وعالة فأغناكم الله بي ومتفرقين فجمعكم الله بي. I came to you and you had no guidance and Allah guided you through me. And you had no wealth and Allah gave you wealth through me. And you were all divided and Allah united you through me. فقالوا الله المنة لله ورسوله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet have all of we owe all praise to them. And everyone was quiet. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَمَا لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَن تَرُدُّوا عَلَيَّ لَفَعَلْتُمْ. If you wanted to respond to me, you could have responded. So everyone was quiet. قَالَ وَمَا نَرُدُّ عَلَيْكَ. What are you talking about, Ya Rasulullah? لَقُلْتُمْ أَتَيْتَنَا أَتَيْتَنَا ضَعِيفًا فَقَوَّيْنَاكَ وَأَتَيْتَنَا مُطَارَدًا فَحَمَيْنَاكَ. You came to us and you had no protection. We protected you and you had no. And he started using that. He said, if you wanted to say that, you could say that. Now you came to us weak and we strengthened you. And you came to us poor and we supported you. فَقَالُوا الْمِنَّةُ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the bounty upon us. We don't feel that way. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ أَحَزِنْتُمْ إِذَنْ عَلَى لُعَاعٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَلُعَاعَةٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا تَأَلَّفْتُ بِهَا قُلُوبَ قَوْمٍ حَدِيثِي عَهْدٍ بِإِسْلَامٍ. You're upset over a little bit of dunya that I used to strengthen the hearts of people who just accepted Islam. وَوَكَلْتُكُمْ إِلَىٰ إِيمَانِكُمْ. And I left you to depend, because I know that you can depend on your own iman. أَمَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَنْ يَعُودَ النَّاسُ إِلَى دُورِهِمْ أَوْ إِلَى دِيَارِهِمْ بِالْمَالِ وَالشِّيَاءِ. Are you not happy that the people will go home with money and with camels and with sheep? وَتَعُودُونَ أَنْتُمْ إِلَىٰ دِيَارِكُمْ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Are you not happy that you will get to go home and you take with you Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? حتى أخضلوا لحاهم. And they started to sob until tears were dropping from their beards. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لولا الهجرة لكنتم رأى من الأنصار. If it wasn't for the fact that I actually performed the immigration, I would have wanted to be one of the Ansar. لو سلك الناس شعبا وسلك الأنصار شعبا لسلكت وادي الأنصار. If people went in one direction and the Ansar went in another direction, I would go in the direction of the Ansar. Ansaru shi'arun wal nasu dithar. Meaning, shi'ar and dithar are two, when you wear clothing, there's clothing that's close to your body and clothing a bit farther away, like the second layer. Meaning the Ansar are the layer that are stuck to my body and everyone else is the layer behind them. Allahumma arhami al-ansar wa abna' al-ansar wa abna' abna' al-ansar. And you would spend for a couple of minutes, alayhi salatu wasalam, making dua for the Ansar. May Allah have mercy upon them. And upon their children, and the children of their children, and the children of the children of their children. He counted, and some hadith point out 5 or 6 generations where he would make dua, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would say, Ayatul Imani hubbul ansari wa ayatul nifaqi bughdul ansar. And the sign of iman is sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his love to the people who stood by him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the fact that he would notice when people, this is important, sensitivity when you're dealing with people, leadership, empowering them, educating them, training them, pointing out their mistakes and taking seriously their concerns and their pain and making sure that you take a moment to actually listen to it and then offer them something. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this all the time. And that's why they loved him. And that's why they continued his legacy after him. And that's why we sit here today with Islam. And if the only way Islam is going to continue is if we continue what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his mind, and invest in people with education and support and mentorship and coaching and training and allowing people to take on, if they're within our lives, to take on leadership positions so they can learn and they can make mistakes and they find someone who they can fall back on. I find that this is one of the missing pieces of the puzzle. And it's a really important one. A couple of years ago, I think I've talked about the concept of mentorship so many times that I feel like a broken record. But it's so central to what our deen is. It's so central to what he did, to his message, alayhi salatu wasalam, and we're not practicing it properly. Like, we're not there. We're not even close to where it needs to be. Young Muslims, men and women, young Muslims, male and female, should find an abundance of Muslim mentors and teachers and people who are willing to help them along. They should find so many of them. They should be able to choose. Meaning, really what should happen is they have all these options. They choose someone that they find benefit by being... Not that there's only one or two people and either you get along with them or you have no other option. And this one or two people that exist are overburdened, overloaded, and have no time anymore to do any of it. And have basically lost their patience to do it. So now we're stuck with, no, that shouldn't be the case. And all it takes is a little bit of time, a little bit of passion, a little bit of investment, a little bit of availability. And really, that's all that's needed for this whole story to continue moving forward. Make sure that you understand that you're a part of this chain, this long chain of Islamic tradition that we're a part of, and that you fit in as a mentee and you fit in as a mentor. You fit in both ways. It's the Hidid alayhi salatu wasalam. He was mentored by Jibreel. He was mentored by Ibrahim alayhi. He was taught alayhi salatu wasalam. He was mentored by Waraq ibn. He took things. He learned alayhi salatu wasalam. He grew and he made sure he did the same for others. And then they did the same thing and they kept on going. And it can't stop now, because if it stops now, then basically we're hitting the brakes on what Islam is actually designed to be. So just think about that a little bit, and I'm sorry for taking too much time. هذا وحبيبكم صلوا عليه صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته إن شاء الله جمعة 2:30 بارك